Good to be back with you this morning. We're once again going to be studying in the Sermon on the Mount. As I said before, and I truly believe this is the greatest sermon recorded for us in all Scripture or anywhere you can find. And we can truly, as we go through it, I think Jesus is really showing us how He wants us to live. And hopefully you'll see that as we get through the part today that I've entitled True Treasures, as we talk about the true things of life in our lives, the things that really matter in our lives, and how we can truly live that true life that the Lord would have us to live. I'd like to start, however, talking about two of the kings of Israel. If you go back and think about Israel, most of us know the history of Israel, that Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they go to the Promised Land, and they're there for a couple hundred years under the judges. And under the judges, Israel was pretty much like 12 independent tribes, and they see the nations around them, and they want to be like those nations, and so they ask God to give them a king. And He does. He gives them King Saul, who turns out not to be the greatest king in all the world, though he appears to be at the beginning. And so He removes Saul, He gives him David. Now David had seven older brothers. I don't know if you've got many older brothers. I have one, and that was enough. But I don't know how you'd live with seven. You know. But David had seven older brothers, and he was a shepherd. He knew what it meant to work for a living. It appears that his father was a fairly well-off rancher or farmer, and they had sheep, and David took care of those sheep. God raised David up, and he became a king of Israel, the second king. And through David's life, if you go through, he had his ups and downs. He had some pretty good downs. But he always had a heart for God. And he always had that heart to come back to God and to repent when he needed to repent and have a heart to God. If you take a look at what's said of David and what Paul reminds us of in Acts and over in the Psalms, when he removed him, talking about when God removed Saul, He raised up David to be their king, of whom He testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all of my will. And in Psalm 78, the whole psalm really talks about David. At the very end it says, David shepherded them with integrity of heart. Some translations said that with an upright heart. With skillful hands, he led them. He led them in God's way, in God's command, in God's rule. This was David, a man with a heart after God. But after David, the next king is King Solomon. Now, Solomon is born to David after David has been king. And so Solomon is raised as a prince. He never probably went out and shepherded any sheep or anything. He was raised basically there in the palace. He was given great wealth when he became king. He had great power in that they had conquered everybody around him, so all these other nations gave Israel tribute, and that gave him great riches. And he had great wisdom. Solomon had, in the way that you judge it by the world, everything. He had money and power and prestige. People all over the world knew about Solomon. But his heart was not for God. Even these great riches and kings at the end of Solomon's life, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, and you've not kept my covenant and my statutes that I've commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. This morning our Sunday school class, we talked a lot about having a heart for God. And it'd be good. Think about being here at Sunday school. It's a time when we have to discuss and to talk about the Scriptures one with another, really to share more than we do in our worship. But having a heart, Solomon's heart was hardened against God. Now, Solomon had it all. And you think about in Proverbs, in verse chapter 30, the writer says, remove from me the falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still profane the name of my God. The idea, we don't want too much in this world, because those things, really, we don't need God. And you see that so much around us today with all the prosperity that we have. And you see that in Solomon's life. The book of Ecclesiastes, I believe, is one of those great books that takes Solomon's life to task. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer shows us the great vanity of Solomon's life. That's why I don't believe there's any way Solomon could have written the book. Because if you look at in Kings, at the end of Solomon's life, Solomon was basically at war with God. He never repented. Yet he had everything. And in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, the writer writes for us, "And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them." Solomon truly had everything he could possibly want. "I kept my heart from no pleasure, and my heart and my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all of my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil that I expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Solomon, we have an example of how vain this world can be. And I think in this section, Jesus is going to try to get us to focus our lives on the things that really matter. And it's easy in this world to get unfocused, to look at all the things around us, and to focus on the things that are only temporary. When the things that are eternal, we sort of let those slip away. And we forget about where our inheritance is. What are we striving after? Over in 1 Peter, I'd like to, one more verse before we get into our scripture today. Peter tries to focus us, and listen what he says. "Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Our inheritance is not on this world. We don't seek the things of this world. We seek that which is eternal, which is kept in heaven by God's own power for us. And we need to make sure that's where we focus ourselves. Not on the temporary of this world, but on those things that never fade, never pass away, that are truly eternal. Now look with me very quickly at our scripture reading, going back to Matthew. "Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or your possessions." Now this is a passage most of us have heard before, and most of us are quite familiar with. But I want you to think about one little section of this passage that you may not have thought much about before. And that's the very center part. When Jesus talks about your eye, if you notice this passage, it's almost like it doesn't fit. He talks first about the treasures on earth, and then he ends up talking about serving two masters. But notice that part in the middle about having good eyes. What's Jesus talking about the eye being the lamp of the body? How does that fit in to what he's saying? What I think he's trying to get us to see is what we're focused on. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and wanted to drink a water or maybe need to go to the bathroom? And if everything's dark and you end up walking into a wall someplace? Most of us have probably done that sometime. You know, it's all dark, you get a little disoriented and you walk into the wall. Why do you do that? Well, because you couldn't see. It was dark. You see, without any light, you don't see anything, do you? Our lives give us focus on where we're going. And I think what Jesus is trying to say is, where are you headed? Where are you looking? Where are your focus in your life? What are your desires? What are your eyes looking at? Where are you headed with your life? And Jesus is trying to get you to focus on the things that really matter, instead of the things that are so temporary. You think about so many of the things that we have in our prayer list. And if you take a look at it sometime, we almost always pray for the temporary things. Somebody's sick, and so they want our prayers. Somebody lost their job. All the temporary things of life is what we spend our time praying about. Have you ever thought about that? There's not much in the New Testament about praying for the sick. In fact, I don't think there's anything. In fact, Paul and James and Hebrews talk about that it's through the trials of life that God molds us into the kind of people that we can be. Do our prayers reflect that? How do we pray for somebody that's not a Christian? You know, Jesus says there's two paths. There's a path that leads to life, and there's a path that leads to destruction or death. There's only two roads you can be on. How do we pray for somebody that's on a road that leads to destruction? And we find out that they're sick, and they ask, well, pray for this person. Do we pray for them to be well, that they can continue on that road to destruction? Or do we pray that God can touch their heart? It's only during times of trouble in our lives, that we can make a change. If everything's going good for somebody, they don't make a change. So do we pray for that person that God can lead them to repentance and that their eternal soul can be saved? Or do we just pray for their physical being? So Jesus wants us to start thinking, are we just focused on the here and now, the temporary? Or are we looking at those things that really matter? Are we focused on eternity? What are we focused on? What are our desires? What are the things that really matter to us? And so often those things that so matter to us, they're just temporary things. Years ago, we were camping up in the Smoky Mountains. And in the evenings, they often do a ranger talk. And this day, there was a ranger talk. And the ranger led us away from the campsite into a little valley. And he said, now look around, and what do you see around this in this little valley? And I said, well, it looks like a little forest. You know, there's middle of Smoky Mountains here. And he said, yeah, this is a little forest, but look over here. And he took us over a little ways, and there was a little brick wall that had been all grown over with moss and everything, but you could still see it was there. And he took us a little further on. There was a little chimney that had been torn down, but you could see it used to be a chimney there. And pretty soon, he took us around. There had been a little town where we were standing. Years ago, there were all these little houses, and they were all gone now. He said, when the park was built back in the 20s and 30s, they bought up all the land around here. And where you're standing now used to be a little town. And these people lived there until, basically, until they died, and the park took it all over. And roughly 50 years ago, the park had taken over this little town. He said, in 50 years, the forest had reclaimed it. All these houses now, they're all gone. But you can think about 50 years ago, on a Saturday, these people would have been working on their roofs or working on their houses. This was their town. But all that they spent all their lives on, it's all gone. And in fact, in 50 years, there's almost no trace that they were ever here. Our lives don't depend upon the things that we have, our possessions. Because even our possessions, those things that we think are so valuable, they pass away. They're only temporary. And that's where Jesus is trying to get us to see. What is the real meaning of your life? Is it the things that you have? Is it your house, your car, your possessions? Are those the things that you're seeking after? Or are you seeking after the things that truly matter? Look at the rest of as we go through. And look at what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't grow, neither do they toil or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Do we believe that God will take care of us, meet our needs, and watch over us? Now, he's not telling us that we're not supposed to do anything, that if we just sit there, God's going to give us what we need. Years ago, we were camping. This happened about 3 years ago. We had a little campsite, and right in front of us, we had a dead tree, and it had a hole in it, and birds had built a nest in there. And the little chickadees, you could hear them in there, the little ones that had just hatched. But their mother and father brought bugs or whatever they ate all day long. From the time we got up in the morning, those birds were flying in and out, bringing birds, feeding their chicks, to the time we went to bed at night. Those birds worked all day long feeding their young ones. Now, God provides for them, but it doesn't mean that they didn't work for it too. God will provide for us, but we need to be living under His rule and His command in our lives. And we need to realize that our lives don't consist in just the things that we have. That's not who we are. Look at the rest of our passage this morning. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, say, what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. For the Gentiles, the world seeks after these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. A few years back, I was thinking of, where I was working at Harris. One of the things that engineers, when we go into engineering, you like to feel like you're going to accomplish something in your life. You know, if you're a civil engineer, you like to think you're going to build some great bridge or some great building or something. I was an electrical engineer. We still have things we want to achieve and think that you accomplished something and built something that was really neat. And that your peers as engineers look up to you and know that you were a good engineer. We all look for to have some praise from those around us. Years ago, we had a special meeting to give an engineering award to an engineer. And engineering awards there at Harris, if you got an engineering award, they gave you a plaque and had a little ceremony. But there's also a money bonus. And when you got a money bonus, you know it really meant something. So we had this award for this engineer. And this guy, the whole division knew who he was. He had really established one of the visions of Harris. In fact, you remember when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? We could see that on TV. You remember that? Some of you may have seen those pictures if you weren't around when he actually did it. Well, this man's accomplishments were one of the reasons you could see those pictures. Because he worked on what's called the Teedra satellite that was able to beam down those pictures from the moon. And this man truly had, as far as engineers concerned, he had accomplished a great amount. He was one of those guys that was famous without Harris and even within our community. We had a special award ceremony for him, and he came in a little bit late. The reason he was late, he was on leave of absence. He was on leave of absence because he was dying of cancer. This man that accomplished what all engineers would sort of dream of, for him, it was very temporary because he was at that time undergoing cancer treatment and was not expected to live much longer. I met him for the first time then, and I heard about all his accomplishments, but I couldn't remember his name now, 15 years later. And that's how temporary things are. We can achieve great things, but they pass away almost before we even think about it. And that's the way this world is. So many of the things we focus on and we think are so important now, will they be that important in a week or two? Jesus is trying to get us to focus on the things that really matter. And so often, we don't do that. We focus on the temporary. And even our prayers are all about, God, solve the problem today that I'm facing. Instead of looking at our spiritual needs and really remembering that we have an inheritance that's in heaven for us. And we don't worry about the temporary thing. This world is not our home. We sang that song a few minutes ago. But do we truly live it in our lives? Do we really have that focus? Jesus is trying to get us not to focus on the day-to-day problems we have, but to start focusing on eternity and thinking about where's our mindset? Where are our eyes? Where's our vision? What's our desires? Are we truly having a heart to God? You go back and you think about David and Solomon. David made a lot of mistakes in his life, but he had a heart to God the whole way. Solomon, he had it all for the world, and it hardened his heart against God. The things of really matter, the true riches, they're not found in the things of this world. They're found in our Heavenly Father when we learn to seek after Him. Look back at our end of our lesson today, and look at the last part where Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? We've looked before, the kingdom of God could also be translated the rule of God. It means the idea of seeking after the things that are God's. His commands, His statutes. It's going after His command, His will for our lives. His righteousness. Living the way that God would have us to live. Living in that right life. We know what that means. Most of the time we know what it means to be focused on this world or to be focused on having a heart to God. All these things will be added. He's not saying that your life's going to be easy, but you have a God that will walk through it with you. We have a God that's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all peace. Jesus said, I'll give you peace, not like the world does, but I'll give you that true peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that it can only come from our Lord and our Father. Sufficient is day for its own trouble. We will have trouble in this life. But we also have a God who will be there with us. That's what Jesus is trying to get you to see. When you focus your life on Him, then all this hustle and bustle of this world, Jesus will bring you the true peace that we seek. He will bring you that eternal security. He truly will bring you that true life that you're not going to receive it anywhere else. The things of this world that we think are so important, they're all temporary. They're going to pass away before you even know it. But the things of the Lord, when you learn to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then He brings you eternal life, that full life, the abundant life, both now and for all time. This morning, think about your focus in life. Think about your desires, what you're headed for. Jesus wants you to focus on those things that really matter. Have an eye... and the desires for Him and His kingdom. And truly, all the things of this world will be added to you that you need. This morning, if you've not started your walk with the Lord, there'd never be a better time. If you started that walk and you've gotten off that path, we always have those here that can help talk to you and help you get you back on the way that you need to live your life. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.